On the screen is another version of the reading that Jackie has just brought to us. The words used more often are larger. And I'll leave that on the screen for a few minutes for you to reflect on as I'm speaking. We're reading from Ephesians chapter 4. And Ephesians, as you may remember from a few weeks back, it's a letter written by Paul to the church in Ephesus, a church that he knew well. He'd been for 2 years in Ephesus as part of his missionary journey, as we read about in Acts chapter 19. And in the first part of this letter, Paul has focused on the gospel story. As we saw back in chapter 1, Paul talks about how we are chosen, adopted, loved, and forgiven in Christ. We read about God's great plan to bring all things together under Christ. And we've seen how God, by his grace, through faith, has saved us. As we thought about at the study group on last Wednesday, we've been saved from sin for good works that God has prepared for us. And so Paul has been celebrating God's goodness and God's mercy, celebrating how God has brought together Jews and Gentiles, those who once were far off have now been brought in to the family. And we get to chapter 4, the halfway point of this letter, and Paul turns from focusing on the gospel story to focus on our story. And he begins to ask the question, how then, in the light of all these wonderful truths, should we live as God's people, as his church, as his children? And for us this morning, this is a really ideal passage for us to be thinking about as we ask, how as a church, as a community, can we be helping people grow as followers of Jesus? Because that's exactly what Paul is aiming at here. And as we'll see, there's some very practical advice for us, and there's also some very challenging advice for us. But for me, the core of the passage, I think, we can see in verses 11, 12, and 13. I think this is where this is the center of the passage, for me, comes. So we read these words together, if you're able to see those, verse 11, 12, and 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I want to just spend a few moments looking at three aspects which I think are shown in verse 13 in particular that are really key for us as we think about growing as followers of Jesus. And the first one is that word that somebody picked up, in fact, Jackie picked up as she read it, the word all, until we all reach unity and maturity. Seems that everyone is included, that Paul is talking about everyone from the most recent convert to the longest serving member, that to be those who are growing and being built up is something that concerns all of us. And what that looks like, we'll think about in a moment, but who is involved? The responsibility for growing. And several people picked this up in your comments just now. It's not a special few who are responsible for this, but all of us are involved. And in fact, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor teachers, their role, says Paul, is to equip the body, to equip God's people for works of service, to enable the church to be built up and to grow. And so we actually asked the question in our little group here, to ask ourselves the question, how am I doing? How am I growing as a Christian? Am I stretching my faith? Am I closer to God now as we come towards Christmas than I was last Christmas, last New Year? What is helping me to grow? And what is holding me back? And can I tell you a quick story about something that happened to me on Wednesday? I was on the number 11 bus. I don't know if you know the number 11 bus. It's always an interesting journey to make on the 11 bus anywhere. But I timed the travel badly. I got on the bus, I was on the bus at 3:30 on a weekday. And some of you will know that means school children. And the bus was absolutely packed. There was no room to move an inch. And two boys were sat right behind me. And one of them got on his phone and he called his mum. And here's how the conversation went, or at least the half that I heard. He said, "Hello, mum, I'm on the bus. Can you leave now to pick me up at Sainsbury's? And mum, can you put the dinner on? Okay, well, what time will it be ready? And what are we having? Really? Yeah, that would be better. Okay, thanks. See you soon. Mum, can you put the dinner on? Feed me when I'm ready and make sure it's something that I like." And it just struck me, perhaps sometimes in our spiritual journeys, we can be a little bit like the boy on the bus, waiting for someone else to feed us. And when we say it out loud like that, it does sound quite odd, doesn't it? It does sound quite rude. But wanting our growth to be handed to us on a plate, preferably at a convenient time for us, in a suitable portion, and to our taste, just how we like it and what we like. And one of the risks in arranging church like this, with one person stood at the front speaking and everybody else sat listening, is that it's easy to come away with the impression that growing as a Christian is not our responsibility, but theirs or his. We come to be fed, we sometimes say. And I wonder whether we might need to turn that round a little bit and ask ourselves, how might we take responsibility for our own growth, to feed ourselves, to maybe put our own dinner on, if you like. And we shared our ideas just now. We had the opportunity to hear from one another, to hear how God speaks through one another, to grow together, to feed one another. And asking that question, how could I take more responsibility for my growth? Maybe in the study groups we hold here, but maybe in other places, in our prayer meetings, in the Advent course that's coming up at the end of November. And looking ahead to next year, to 2018, I would love to see small house groups growing within our church where we meet together during the week in one another's houses and we pray together and we share with one another and we read the Bible together and we grow together until we all reach unity and become mature. So that was the first word, all. But the second word, many of you picked up, unity. Until we all reach unity, says Paul in verse 13. Growing as a Christian, something we're all called to. What does it look like? Well, unity is the first thing Paul says. Maturity is the second we'll look at in a moment. And Dan picked this up down the front. Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Recognizing that this isn't easy for us. It's not natural for us. It's something that we need to work at. And I know that we picked up as well the importance of humility, of gentleness, of patience, being patient, bearing with one another. But as we do that, as we grow as followers of Jesus, Paul says, we will grow closer together. We will grow closer together and reach unity. And is that unity something that destroys all difference? Is that unity that we have to try and create by just agreeing with everybody about everything? Well, I don't think so. In verses 4, 5, and 6 of the passage we read, Paul talks about seven ones. He talks about one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And so this unity we're talking about is not something we create. It's not something we make up. Our unity is in God. It's not some warm, fuzzy feeling we have when we agree with someone. This is a unity found in acknowledging that we together believe in one God. We follow one Lord. We celebrate one baptism. We come around one table. Something we grasp onto, not something we create. And so we're not, as individuals, destroyed or made the same by this Christian unity. Actually, our diversity is strengthened, is validated, because we're not the same, but we worship the same God. One on our picture behind me. And if you've ever thought with me, why is it so important that we achieve and work towards that unity? Well, let me show you a picture. I don't know if you recognize this bridge, the Millennium Bridge, a footbridge over the River Thames in London. And it was opened in June 2000. And it's made of steel. You can see it's quite an impressive structure. 320 meters long, a revolutionary design. And do you remember what happens? Rosemary is waiting to tell me. What happened?
It wobbled.
Hours after opening, this bridge was closed, and it was closed for 2 years while they worked on fixing it. And the problem was, as Rosemary said, the wobble. You see, what happened was, as people walked on this bridge, the bridge swayed just a tiny bit, just about 3 or 4 millimeters from one side to the other. And the engineers of this bridge expected that. They knew that would happen. And they thought that will be no problem. It's going to move a tiny bit and that will be fine. But what they hadn't realized, hadn't expected, hadn't planned for, was that the people walking on the bridge would adjust their steps ever so slightly to compensate for the movement. So as the bridge moved to the right, the people would just move to the left. And it went that way and it went that way. And they would do that as they walked across the bridge. And here's the thing, everyone on the bridge, and there were a lot of people on the bridge that first day, everyone moved at exactly the same time. And so what began as a tiny movement became such a large swing in the middle of the bridge that they had to close it for fear of collapse. See, the engineers hadn't accounted for the power of unity. The power of unity, the impact that hundreds and thousands of people all moving at the same time in the same direction would have, even on something as impressive as that steel bridge. And friends, as we think about that picture, as we think about our planning for our mission together, we're going to do in the church meeting after our service today, as we think about how we reach out into our community together, how we embrace those on the margins together, we're reminded this morning there is great power in unity. We're not all the same. The people on that bridge, they weren't all the same. They were from all over the world. They were from all ages, all sizes, all different personalities. But they were moving in the same direction, with the same priority, going in the same direction. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. When we move together, we move with power. And I think that's probably why our enemy tries so hard to divide us over small issues, because he knows the power of unity. Jesus prayed, didn't he, in John 17, when his followers are united, he prays to his Father, when they're united, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. So we began with all. We've gone on to think about unity, the importance of that, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And finally, until we all reach unity and become mature. Until we become mature. Growing as followers of Jesus, it involves everyone, all of us. It draws us closer together. And finally, it makes us more like Jesus. That's what Paul's definition of mature is. Becoming mature in verse 13. Become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, as we grow, as we become mature, we become increasingly like Jesus in our attitudes, our behavior, our thoughts, our concerns, our priorities. And that's repeated again in verse 15. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. The emphasis is on everyone to be involved in this. Motivated by, driven by, carried by love, together we become more and more like Jesus. But I don't know if you notice verse 14 as we read through. Verse 14, and perhaps you recognize yourself in verse 14 if you're being honest this morning. Then, when we've grown to be more like Jesus, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Too often, that describes us, doesn't it? Quite weak, easily swayed, like an infant blown in the wind. Like an ice skater, maybe, on their first trip out on the ice. But our call is to become mature, to grow, to become more like Jesus. And we easily get discouraged on that journey. And this morning, as we celebrate communion together, we have plenty to reflect on, I'm sure, as we come to the table of the King, to the table of Jesus, the head of the body, the head of the church. We ask him to be at work in us, even now, even today, to transform us into his likeness, to strip away those immaturities which hold us back, to develop and nurture those promising first steps we've made, and to become mature. And one thing that has struck me this past week as well is that we are really good with children at celebrating their growth. We're really good at it. At the Jacob and Chloe school, they have a congratulations assembly every Friday. Children bring in their certificates and they bring in their photographs and their details of the things they've won and done in the past week, a dance competition or a scoring a goal or passing a swimming test or writing a really good poem. And the whole school gets together to say, brilliant, you've done, that's excellent. We celebrate and share and acknowledge how much progress these children have made. It's recognized and celebrated that there's been growth. And I wonder, as adults and as Christians, how rarely we do that. How rarely we celebrate growth in one another. I wonder when the last time someone came up to you and said, I recognize Jesus in you this last week, in what you said, in what you did, in how you react. I want to encourage you that you're growing as a Christian. And what was the last time you said that to somebody else? We have a funeral here tomorrow and another on Wednesday. And sadly, we often wait, don't we, until a funeral comes before we talk about how someone has encouraged us spiritually, how they've been an example to us, how they've shown us Jesus. And maybe this is an opportunity this week to change that, to take a moment this week to encourage someone that you've seen them, where you've seen growth, where you've seen they're spiritually further on the road than they were a few months ago, to let them know, to encourage them as they grow as Christians, as they grow to become more like Jesus.